This meeting is for the house of Judah and house of Yosef. So you are in this category now. Welcome everyone to the meeting of house of Judah and house of Joseph. If you feel that you are not from the house of Judah, you do fit the house of Joseph. So welcome everybody. In the name of God of Israel and Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you with all of our hearts for your grace that you've given to us. Our strength is not from ourselves. Our righteousness is not from ourselves. We have no ability of ourselves to think of even anything as we ought to think, but our ability is of you. But we would never have the peace unless we had the forgiveness of sins and your righteousness. We want to walk clean in that righteousness, and every day have our garments washed in the rich redemption of the Messiah. And then we want to stay close to you, not by ourselves, not by our strength. As we draw close to you individually and together, your house gets built, not by our work. You built your house, unless the Lord built the house. Those that labor, they labor in vain. Even a watchman wakes in vain, unless you keep the house. But you guard the house. You build the house. It's all yours. And we are yours. So lead us and guide us in our thinking and in your word. We can do nothing by ourselves or of ourselves. We need you. It's not by the power of our willing or by power of our emotion, but we have your Holy Spirit. We have your Holy Spirit. Deep in our hearts, fill our meeting with yourself. In the name of Yeshua, bless Israel. Bless all of your own. Bless Israel. Bless our leaders. Give them wisdom, understanding, and everything. In the name of the only Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. Yes. I have this book in front of me. The first century Aramaic Bible in plain English. So I'm going to read from the New Covenant a little bit. And I use this. This was a good verse. We needed this blessing that in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's a good blessing. Okay, let's go a little bit to the book of Galatians. I wanted to speak also a few words from Yeshaya, Isaiah 33, but I don't know if our time is sufficient to go there, maybe. But when the apostle Shaliach, Shaul or Paul, wrote this letter to the Galatians, he emphasized the fatherhood of God. In Western institutions of theology, and when anybody opens the book of Galatians, they usually focus on the question, it's about legalism, not legalism. That comes usually first to the mind. That's I kind of thought that way because I listened to all kinds of good teachers. But when I read it, it starts with the fatherhood of God. The question of the Torah, the law, is not even the first question. Because, you remember, when was the time before the law was fulfilled? The devil was telling Israelites, don't keep the Torah, don't do the things, and don't, you can worship some idols, and you don't keep the law. But now when the law is fulfilled, now he tells everybody, you should keep the law. You should keep the law, not in a way that, in a fulfilled way, the Torah in the heart, but now you should really focus on the letter of the law and not, you know what I'm saying. So the devil confuses issues. Therefore, I don't think that the first question even here is about the question of the law, but it's about the fatherhood of God. And we'll see it soon. It's about the fatherhood of God. And through the Messiah who fulfilled everything, we get the Spirit of the Father into our hearts. That's in chapter 4. And because we have forgiveness, righteousness, and then we have the Spirit, we will have the beautiful fruit of the Spirit and completely different life than anybody else. And then in chapter 6, what does he say? He says, circumcision is not anything, but neither uncircumcision. It's not even about this creation. The point is the new creation, because Messiah brings us into the new creation and the new way where the law is written, the teaching and the law. Torah is both teaching and the law. So it's written in our hearts in the way of love. So let's look at here something. Paulus, Galatians 1, beginning. Not by the children of man or sons of man, neither by a son of man, nor by any man, but by Yeshua the Messiah and God the Father, whom he raised, he who raised him from among the dead. So the Father is the one who raised Yeshua from the dead and who raises from the dead. This is wonderful. This is the initiation to the new creation. New creation. There's a new man. There's a new creation. There's a new song. There's a new way of thinking. There's a new way of feeling. There's a new willingness because we have the Father. Yes, Father. You remember, as soon as the Messiah rose from the dead, that's in the book of John, chapter 20, and in the evening when he appeared to the disciples, you know, what did he say? I go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Father. I have not yet fully grasped what it means. My heart is already grasping it. My mind is still behind what it is to have a Father, and a different Father than anybody. And all the brethren who are with me, all the brothers, you know what is the highest thing that we can say about anybody? You are my brother, you are my sister. Because this way, we always remember, because he is our Father. He is our Father. Therefore, you are my sister, you are my brother. Because we have one Father. We have titles in the world, and I don't mean that we should fight the titles, you know, I don't mean that. But this is higher title than anyone. Any title. We could be deacons, pastors, professors, bachelors of theology, doctors of theology. Okay. Maybe it's not wrong. I think it's okay. But there's nothing higher than Father and sons and daughters of God, because Yeshua is our great brother. This is the world into which we are moving. We are in this world, but we're daily like waking to this reality. Okay? And grace be with you, verse 3. Grace, hesed, with you and peace from Elohim the Father and from our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. When it says from our Lord, Maran Yeshua, this Lord is different than the rabbis. This Lord is different than earthly lords. This Lord is the Lord of life. He's the Prince of life. And He communicates that life that is different. So when we say Lord, that is, think about Joseph in Egypt. He was the Lord of all of Egypt. Pharaoh made him Lord of everything. But what kind of Lord was he? He was this kind of Lord that he gave bread to the hungry. He sold bread to everybody, and to his own family, he put even their money back in the sacks and gave them double bread, and he tested them, but he took care of them. There's many, because this word Lord, Maran in Aramaic, our Lord, we have many lords on the earth. And the word Lord may scare us, because we've had all kinds of lords, even in the army. I was in the army, and there's all kinds of lords in the army and in different places. But this kind of Lord is different. He's the Lord of life. And He taught us that He's the Lord that came to serve. He is the Lord, no question about it. He has every right, but He does it in a very gentle way, very kind way. Okay. And then verse 4. He who gave Himself for the sake of our sins to set us free from this evil world, according to the will of God our Father. There's the Father again. So there's the evil world. This evil world is, we can say in one word, it's like an orphanage. No father. This evil world is a world where everybody tries to promote himself. We must respect the orders. We must respect policemen and the laws and order. They're for our good. Romans chapter 13. But this world works in such a way that everybody wants to promote himself. That's the way they know how to do things. And so the evil world is from which our Father, our God, and our Father wants to set us free. So the first thing is not even about the law. Yes, laws and not laws. It's that the world system is evil. And even religious systems can be evil. I have to be careful when I say that, because religious systems contain truths and good things. And we're not against morality, on the contrary. But still, the system in itself, the world system, is evil because it's an orphanage. It's an orphanage in essence. Orphanage. And so the big thing is Yeshua the Son. If you read the book of Yohanan, John, the Gospel of John, you see how the Son and the Father, this theme runs through the book. I could sit in an island a whole year and just have sandwiches and pray and read the book of Yohanan. Not that I want to be in an island, but I would be satisfied just to read this book through and through and try to get this love relationship that the Son had to the Father. This is the mystery of all the mysteries. Even when Yeshua was on the earth, he was healing the sick. He was multiplying the bread, and he still multiplies the bread. He was doing all kinds of wonderful things and forgiving sins and cleansing lepers and doing all kinds of things. But when the day was done, he didn't go to the pizza place first to get something to eat. He went to the mountain. He missed the Father. We don't understand how deep his relationship was to the Father. We don't. And everything he did was from this relationship to the Father. To him, these works of power that he did were expression of the Father, the Father's heart and the Father's power. That's what he did through the Holy Spirit. It wasn't to show himself as a Superman. The Superman stuff is not so good. People are attracted to Superman. Superman is no good. Superman wants to show his powers. Yeshua would do his works, and then he would go to quiet. When the masses would come to him after he did some amazing healings, he would go to the quiet, to be alone, to be with the Father. So he wants to set us free from this evil world. Another way of saying that is to set us free from the orphan spirit. No, I believe that my heart is tasting that a little bit. I have a little bit idea about that. But not the way that I need it. Not the way I need it. I need to pray daily. Again, show us the Father by letting me see you better. If we have seen the Son, we have seen the Father. We have seen the Father. He said in Jeremiah, I am a father to Israel. Israel behaved so much like an orphan. And Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim behaved the worst. Ephraim was stuck with the idols. No good. No good. But he said, Ephraim is my firstborn. So he came to set us free from our sins. So that he gave himself for our sins, to set us free from this evil world. So when we get the forgiveness of sins, that's where we meet the Father. Aha! You remember the prodigal son? The son that ran far away in Luke chapter 15. Luke in Aramaic, Lucas in Greek, whatever. So in chapter 15, the son run to the Father who had sinned greatly. And he understood the Father better than the son that was always next to him. Yeah, yeah. So he came to set us free from our sins, to set us free from this evil world according to the will of our God, our Father. Our God, our Father. I can't read that without remembering when Yeshua rose from the dead, he said, I go to my God and to your God, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. That means we are brothers to Yeshua. Oh yes, he's a majestic Lord. Like Joseph was in Egypt. Majestic. Nobody would dare to challenge him. No. He had all the powers of the kingdom that Pharaoh gave to him. But he was the brother. So he would say to his own brothers, don't worry that you sinned against me. Don't be concerned. And he came. He said, I'm Yosef, your brother. Come to me. Come near. And he would weep in their neck. That's the kind of Lord we have. He's not a hard Lord to obey. How did he win the people into obedience to Pharaoh? By giving them food, by giving them bread, giving them living food, giving them bread. And he bought them to obedience by this food. You know, I'm in my life that, I believe it's like this. And we have to be very careful what we say about ourselves because we don't know our hearts. But I think to me it's very simple. You remember Shimon Kepha or Peter, he said, when Messiah said, do you want to go away? You want to go try this way or that way? Go after these big men or teachers? He said, to whom? You have the words of eternal life. Aha. These are not the words that come from the orphanage. They don't come from the teachers that are in this big orphanage called the world. The orphan spirit is behind a lot of the teachers, unless they know the Father and the Son. In other words, I have no other options. It's not that I'm a great disciple. It's not that I have a great power to decide. It's not that I can say I've been serving, I'm going after you so faithfully. No. No. I have no other options. I had no other options. I cannot live without these words of eternal life. I've seen the miracles. I've seen what you can do. But what changes me, the miracles are true. He still does miracles when needed. But I need these words. And then, that's the Father. So what was the problem with Galatians? After the apostle taught correctly of this law that is written in our hearts by the way of love, obedience that's written inside of us, that comes from the inside, not beating it into our heads. So what was the problem with Galatians? After they were told that now your sons, by the gift of the Father, because you are brothers to this Messiah, now you are in the family of God. Then came these teachers and said, you must do this and do this and do this that you can be really the sons of the Father. You can't really be the proper children unless you first do this and do this and do this. Probably many of the things that they were telling them, some of them may have been even right things and some of them may have been wrong things. But they made them to buy their sonship. The Spirit of the Father, after they had the gift already, they said, you have to pay for it with this, 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 this. That was the spirit in which they said it. Of course, they said it with different words. But they made you buy, to pay for it, what you already have. There's nothing wrong in the law. Just the point is, it's already written in our hearts by the way of love. So they tried to make them buy their sonship, the gift by works. So what did the apostle say in Galatians? Did you receive the Spirit? What Spirit? That you are the sons and daughters, your heirs of God, heirs of everything by grace. You are the heirs by grace. Did you receive this Spirit by works of obedience to the law or by hearing of faith? What is Shema Yisrael? The first thing in Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, is you must hear that the Lord your God is one. Hear how the Father and the Son and His Spirit is one in the eternal plan before the eternities. How He's one when the Messiah is by the riverside and the Father says, this is my beloved Son. And then the Son is going there humbly, being immersed by Yohanan and John. And then the Spirit comes upon Him like a dove in a very gentle way. The Lord is still one. And then when He went to pay for our sins, the God was in the Messiah, reconciling the world unto Himself. That's in 2 Corinthians 5, 14, 15, 16, 17. And there, God was in the Messiah when the Messiah was paying for our sins. And the Holy Spirit was the fire that kept Him. And then in resurrection again, in resurrection, Yeshua said, take away my life and in 3 days destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. He raised Himself up in Romans 6 verse 4 or 3. The Father raised Him from the dead. Another verse says the Spirit rose Him from the dead. God is always one. And God is one to restore Israel to salvation. When God says, I'm a father of Israel and Ephraim is my firstborn, their God is also one. I could go to Zechariah 3 and all that, but let me go back to the simplicity. In the eternity future, when we will finally be in the New Jerusalem, but we really will be the New Jerusalem. There we'll fully see how God is one. And we only see this, what Paul is teaching here. So let's go to Galatians 4. I don't need to buy this freedom that I can call Him Father. I don't need to buy this freedom that I don't need to copy anyone else. I don't need to try to be the Superman in the orphanage of this world. I can be myself, like a child, like a little boy, like a little girl. I can be like His child. Hey, when Yeshua was risen from the dead, and in John 21 He was on the shore, and they were trying to get the fish out of the sea. What did He say to them? Hey, children, do you have any food? Okay, now we are in the world of resurrection. We are all little children. We have like a new start. When we come to new creation, it's just like Adam and Eve that we are created. They didn't know anything. What's in this world? And where am I? All these beautiful trees and sounds and interesting animals walking around. What is this world? When we come to this new creation world, we're in the same situation. It's all new. I don't know this world until the Holy Spirit is my guide to this new world. It's a new world. Is there any institution that can teach me? I don't know. There are people that have the light of the Holy Spirit that can teach us, but only if they have the Holy Spirit. Only if they have the Holy Spirit. No flesh and blood can teach me how good it is, how wonderful is this freedom, and how wonderful it is to be free from burden of sin, but also from trying to be something that the world is pushing us into, and to be free to hear His voice. But let me go to Galatians, and clearly I don't have time to go to Isaiah 33, that wonderful chapter. Okay, Galatians 4. After he has explained to them that they received this spirit, not by the works of the law, but by hearing of faith, he says, Galatians chapter 4. I say then, as long as the heir is a child, heir of God, he is not distinct or different from the servants, though he is the master over all of them. But he's under guardians and stewards until the time that his father has appointed. So the father is watching, and the father is using all kinds of teachers for us to watch. Well, Israel was in this kind of situation, and all these laws and ordinances and all these are necessary to bring Israel to the point that Israel can finally understand, I'm a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. So let's take this to the world of believers. It's the same thing. When Yeshua the Messiah paid for all the sins of the world, now we can know the Father. All of our sins are paid for. By the way, also we do have victory. So verse 3, in this way also, when we were children, we were enslaved or servants under the principles of the world. But when the fullness of time arrived, the fullness of time, God sent His Son, and He was from a woman and was under the written law, that He would redeem those who are under the law, that we would receive the position of children. I forgot what it is in authorized version. We would receive the adoption of children. But the position of children. Sometimes I have a difficulty with the Greek-English concept, because the adoption is not like he's adopting strangers. It's a different thing here. It's totally different. In Hebrew, we have the bar mitzvah, but mitzvah conception, where you adopt someone who is a born child. You adopt someone who is already born in a family. Actually, God doesn't adopt a stranger. He adopts those that are born of Him with full rights of sonship and so on. So in literally in Aramaic, it is actually the Greek, I think, is pretty close. I can speak more with authority about Aramaic. I forgot the Greek. It's the placement of sons, position of children, literally placement of sons, placement of children. So when the prodigal son came home from a long journey, he was starving. Ooh, he was stinking, dirty clothes. So the first thing is, change the clothes, new ring and new shoes, so that you have the position of children. So when you come to the feast, nobody can tell you, what are you doing in this feast? They can't tell you, you messed up. because you have a new garment. You're not the one that messed up. You have a new garment. You're a new man. You have got your ring. You have your rights. You got your shoes. That means you're no longer a slave. So you come. You're still starving. But first you need the placement of a child. Now you are not in a position of a lost son. You are the son, child, with full rights. Thank you, Lord. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, who cries, Father, our Father. Ava Avun. Avun is like Avinu in Hebrew. In Aramaic is Avun. Our Father. Our Daddy. Our Father. Our Daddy. I love this. I love this. Because ye are children. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, who cries, Father, our Father. I want to bring this to a close. Otherwise, this becomes a sermon. I don't want to preach a sermon. This is just an introduction. But believe me, these things are wonderful. This is amazing path. This is so amazing that all of the 12 apostles, they were ready to die for this message. To them, it was more than a message. It was really knowing the Lord and being set free from the orphanage of the world. And when you read the book of Romans, the book of Romans is a marvelous book. And the book of Hebrews, those two are amazing books. In Romans, when you read chapter 4, before you read about our victory and after you read that we are justified, chapter 4 talks about Abraham being our father. Abraham being our father. When I listen to preachers in the West, anywhere in the West, they have a word that they use, they say, father of our faith. Abraham is father of our faith. Have you heard that term?
Yeah.
It's a nice term. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to speak against anybody, but I don't find it in the Bible.
Right.
It's never in, it's not in my Bible. But what's in the Bible? Abraham, our father. He's not a second-hand father. He's really our father. He's father also of those, father of many nations. He's also father of those who may not be of the seed of Israel, because it all ends up in the family of faith. I wish I had more time to go into it today. But why does he emphasize in, because God is our father. Is it enough that God is our Father? Why does Paul press the point that Abraham is our Father? And it was so difficult for him to become a father. He waited 99 years until he could get the message. Now it's finally going to come. And at the age 100, he becomes a father. Now he's a father. And then God says, you will be a father not only of Isaac and not only of this family, but father of many nations. You'll be father of all them that believe. Not a second-hand father. Let me say honestly, it's not wrong to say father of our faith. But I have a feeling that it puts a little distance. It's like, yeah, he's a father, but father of my faith. Yes, yes, yes. But I'm not really close enough to say he's my father. I'm not really as close as the Hebrews, if you happen to be non-Hebrews. I'm Hebrews. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why does he press the point? Read chapter 4 and you see how often he repeats that. Abraham is our father and father of all that believe. Because God wanted to show the fatherhood through Abraham, so we can see even more that the final father is God our Father. Abraham is like a representative father to show us the great Father. God is the final Father. God is our Father. Okay. Hey, you are my brother. You are my sister. There's nothing higher than this. That's why even Apostle John, who was the last apostle, in the last book, the book of Revelation, John says, I am your brother in the afflictions. He doesn't even say, I'm Apostle John. He says, I'm your brother. Because he saw Yeshua is everything. And we are family. And whatever we go through, we are in it together. We are a father. And I want to close with this. Galatians 5, then there's the battle between flesh and the spirit. In chapter 5. I don't take time now to read through that. I'm only saying this. That the same spirit in which we cry, Abba Avun, Abba our Father, is the spirit that makes the fruit. So when we are in battles against the flesh, it's not our battle. The spirit is envious against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. It's the battle of the spirit against the flesh. It's not my battle. I don't need to take it on myself. I only call on Him as my Father. And if I leave that battle to Him, if I give the battle to Him, I cannot miss my victory. It is not possible. What happened to these amazing believers who wrote wonderful books? And I have one man of God in my mind now, and I'm not judging this author in any way, but I'm just saying, sadly in my heart, he wrote this amazing book about amazing grace, and at least 8 years he lived in daily defeat, according to his own words. He lived 8 years in defeat, which is forgiven, and I think it was amazing that he was so honest. And God certainly has forgiven him. But I have this question in my heart. Did he know this secret? Did he know this secret? He knew that God forgives. He knew many secrets. But did he know, if I give this battle to the Lord, and if I really know God as my Father, I cannot sin against God, because my heart knows I don't want to hurt that love that gave me this gift, eternal life, eternal life, the relationship of the Father and the Son into my heart. Maybe he didn't really know that secret of the Father and the Son. I'm not judging him. I'm just wondering what happened. But then when we give that battle to him, and I really close with this, in Galatians 4:25, we're going to have this wonderful thing, the fruit of the Spirit. And in Aramaic, the same word can mean also fruits. It depends how you put the points, the nekudot, the points. The fruits of the Spirit, or fruit of the Spirit, are love, I like that, joy, peace, shalom. I don't like fights, I don't like quarrels, peace, patience, sweetness. It's in Aramaic, it's sweetness. goodness, faith, humility. By the way, that sweetness is the same word as psamim, like good fragrances that, you know, we men also put a little bit aftershave, but ladies put more sweet fragrances. That's the same word as these sweet fragrances that we get from the Spirit, that when we walk to a place, fragrance comes out of us. And goodness, faith, humility, or meekness, endurance. Oh, that's what I need. Law. The law is not against any of these things. Let me stop here. I believe that we have some food, not only for thought, but in which to walk in. I'm not very experienced in this thing, but I know this is the way. I've tasted it enough that I know this is the way. I don't know how far I'm in it. We don't know our hearts. We can't say I'm so far in this or that. We can't say. Only God knows our hearts. But I know one thing. If we see what Simon Peter saw, there's nowhere else to go except to Him who has this living bread. Then we are on the right road. Thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that You have these words of eternal life. We cannot live without them. In Your precious name, Todah Rabbah. Thank You. Let Israel find these words. Let every believer find these words. Those that don't know You yet, let them hear and find these words. Thank You for Your forgiveness that is so rich, and Your power to live in it. Amen.